Krisus Perik Beis Mishnah Gimel 2-3. We continue to enumerate lists of korbanos that are brought in ways that are breaking the general rules. So the general rule is that if a person does multiple averos, so he brings one korban for each avera. That's certainly true if they are in different halamos, in different lapses. But our Mishnah here is going to say that chamish mevin korban echad al averos harbe. There are five scenarios where a person brings a single korban or set of korbanos for multiple episodes where each one, you might have thought, has its own separate standing and should have its own separate requirement for korbanos, but no, a single korban will deal with all of the episodes. So that's an exception to the rule. Also says the Mishnah, v'chamish mevin korban ol v'yored. There are five scenarios in which the offering to be brought depends on a person's financial standing, and it's variable, ol v'yored, it goes up or goes down. We'll discuss that, those five variable offerings, in the next Mishnah, Mishnah Dala. But here, our Mishnah will discuss four of the five so far. We'll discuss four of the five instances where a single korban will address multiple episodes, each one of which, in the right, is requiring a korban, but one korban will do for all of them. So the first, says the Mishnah, Elu mevin korban echad al averos harbe. The following is the list of scenarios where a person can bring a single korban for multiple episodes. First of all, habal shifcha charufa bios harbe. We discussed already in a number of times the shifcha charufa, and we'll define that more in Mishnah Hay. This half-married slave girl to an Eved Ivri. So if the adulterer Reuven, you know, sleeps there multiple times, so then he will bring a single asham shifcha charufa for all of those times, meaning he had an affair with her for a year and slept with her for 100 times, he brings one asham for all of that. Just speaking out, it wouldn't be the case if Reuven had an affair with 100 different women, shifcha charufas, even if it would be in a single halam, and he thought it was mutter because she's only like half married, we'll call it. But doesn't matter, since they're what's called gufos mukhlakim, different people, let's say, so then each person with whom he sinned requires a separate asham. But our Mishnah is saying that if it was a single woman, so then if there are multiple episodes and he brings one asham shiv charufa for all of them. Second, v'nazir shenitma tumos harbe. A nazir who became tameh multiple times. So again, the nazir swears off becoming exposed to corpse tumah. And we already saw that if he becomes exposed, whether intentionally or otherwise, he brings this. At the end of his, part of his process of restarting is to bring the asham for the nazir. Now, it would go without saying that if, for argument's sake, you know, in the middle of his naziris, he goes to a cemetery and walks over 10 graves and becomes like exposed 10 times, then of course he would just bring one, he'd start again, and part of the starting again would include bringing one set of korbanos. That is not what our Mishnah is saying. Our Mishnah is saying, even if he's essentially started again, which I'll define in a second, but he becomes tameh like at the last moment, which I'll define in a second, then even though he is starting a new tumah, I don't know, where he relapsed into being tameh all over again, still he'd bring one set of korbanos at the end of the restart. So what am I talking about? So the process of a nazir who becomes tameh, like any person who becomes tameh from tumas meis, that's all that we're talking about for the nazir, on day 3 and day 7 after exposure, so they have to be have hazaya, they are spritzed with the mechatas, that's the paraduma water, on day 3 and day 7. And then the nazir, on day 7, after getting spritzed for the second time, he'll have his hair cut and he'll go into a mikvah. Okay, that's on day 7. Now, that's to restart his naziris. At that point, he's sort of restarting. On day 8, he'll be essentially tahor, but he still has to bring some korbanos, including the asham, etc., for have him come tummy in the middle. Okay, so he's going to start again, but he brings korbanos. Our Mishnah is saying that even though this nazir had already gone through days 3 and day 7, he got spritzed twice, he got his hair cut and went to the mikvah. Even so, if later on day 7, before day 8 when he brings korbanos, he gets exposed to, you know, corpse tumah all over again, whether again willfully or not, so he's now he has to start waiting another 7 days, etc., so it's like he started anew, but now where he's relapsing into the state of being tameh, it doesn't matter. When he gets out of that, when he finally brings korbanos, and he can bring korbanos, it'll be in the second, day 8, let's call it, he brings just one set of korbanos, even though he got exposed to corpse tumah twice. Okay, next we have Hamekane leishto al yedei anashim harbe. One who, I'll call it, warns his wife, let's say, regarding many men. So this is a specific thing that we learn about in Maseches Sota. A man, if he suspects that there's something improper with the relationship between his wife and another man, so the husband can say to his wife, I don't want you to be alone with Reuven. And that is called kinui. Okay, he warned her. Reuven is off limits. Do not dare be alone with him. Now, if the wife ends up having yichud, being secluded with Reuven, so then now that's called stira, seclusion with this man who she was already had kinui to be warned not to be with. So now she becomes forbidden, the wife becomes forbidden to her husband until she can evidence that nothing improper happened. And that would involve that whole sota process. Now, the whole sota process is involved. I'm not getting into that right now, except part of the sota process is that the husband of the suspected sota, he brings what's called a mincha kanaos, minchas kanaos, like this, I don't know, jealousy offering, I'll call it, which basically is just barley flour. He pays for it, she holds it during the process. So our mission here is saying that if hypothetically the husband had done kinui with his wife regarding multiple men, meaning the husband warned his wife not to be secluded with Reuven or Shimon or Levi, and then she secludes herself with Reuven and Shimon and Levi, so she'll go through the sota procedure. Now, it's possible she was adulterous with any or all of them, but the point is that he, the husband, brings just one korban, minchas kanaos, and she holds that one, and one is sufficient. So even though there's sort of three kinuis here and three stiras here, but there's only going to be one mincha for all three of those things. That's the point of our mission here. And finally, the mission, this last part of the mission is actually difficult to read. In fact, the Gemara says there's some missing words, a chasuri mechzra. So the mission reads, v'metzora shenisnaga negaim harbe, a person who has a metzora, who has tzaras, who has multiple episodes of tzaras, which I'll describe in a second, says the Mishnah, hevi tziporav v'nisnaga, if he brought his birds and he got re-afflicted with tzaras all over again, another nega, lo alulo ad sheyavi es chataso. It doesn't count for him until he brings his chatas. Those words don't string together very well. Let me explain where we're going with this, and I'll show you the chasuri mechzra. So the idea is that a mitzora can be a mitzora for like a lifetime, actually. Once they have confirmed tzaras, so then the skin could get better and worse, whatever, until it really is nisrap, it resolves itself. They're a mitzora. When they've healed from their tzaras, so then there's essentially a what's called a 7-day whatever procedure, a complicated procedure, to be re-purified, okay? Now, part of that procedure is that on the beginning, two birds are taken, tzipori drawer, and one bird is slaughtered. Its blood goes into a earthenware vessel that has maim chaim, you know, spring water inside of it, and the other bird is dipped into that water-blood mixture, and then that is used to, the bird itself is used to be like to spritz onto the mitzora, and then the living bird is taken to the city and released, and then the mitzora, after that process, he'll end up shaving all his hair, everything, even his eyebrows, and going to the mikveh, wait 7 more days, and then gets shaved again, goes to the mikveh again, and then on day 8 brings some karbonos as the conclusion of the mitzora. So our Mishnah's point here, without seeing the words, is that even though they've already gone through the bird procedure, so like we're sort of like the person's confirmed to have been healing, they've now started the purification process, the birds have been one slaughtered, you know, and the spritzing, all that kind of business. So like he's kind of like done with his tzaras. If he like starts tzaras all over again with a new affliction, then he's like a mitzora for a second time, so to speak, right? Because the other one was gone. But nevertheless, when he finally gets to the end of that second time, when he brings his karbonos with, you know, new process, new birds and everything new, he'll only bring one set of karbonos for both episodes of tzaras. That's the point of our Mishnah, the main point. The Mishnah then brings up a second point, which is like totally unrelated, okay? Which is like parenthetical comments. By the way, the mitzora, when he brings his concluding karbonos, aside for the primary offering, which is this asham, you know, that with the, okay, that's the primary offering for whatever reasons, the blood and the ear and the thumbs and toes, okay, all that business. So the the Metzorah also brings another offering, and that offering is the Schatas depends on his financial standing. So it's a variable offering. If he can afford it, then there's the animal, and if he can't afford it, then there's birds. So our Mishnah is saying here that when is a defining moment to determine, like we look at his balance sheet, it's like a moment in time, is this guy poor and has like bring a poor man's offering, or is he not poor and brings like a rich man's offering, we'll call it. So the answer is that snapshot of his personal balance sheet, deciding if he's rich or poor, is determined, it says the Tana here, by when he brings his chatas, not when he brings the birds. Okay, the birds aren't relevant to that story. We're saying that because there is a third sheet in the Tanaim when the birds are what koveyat, but this Tana is disagreeing with that. Okay, that's really as Yaakov. Okay, so inside these, the Gemara says there's a chasurim nechsra, there's missing words, and therefore the way the Mishnah really should read is as follows: Hametzorah shenisnaga negaim harve. If you have a metzorah who got multiple episodes of tzara'as, so then now the way we read is Hevi tziporin v'nisnaga. If he brought his birds, but then he got reafflicted, a mevi ela korbanachar. He brings only one set of offerings, meaning at the end of the second episode, he brings a set of offerings. And that's the first point we're making, that it's that even though he got restarted a new tzara'as after the bird procedure, it doesn't matter. One set of korbanos to end will do. That's the main point of our Mishnah. But then also the second point is velo alatziporim lihikavea ba'anios uvashiros ad sheyavi chatas. The bringing of the birds doesn't determine if he's considered rich or poor. That's not determined until he brings the chatas itself, that variable offering. Okay. On that last point, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad sheyavi es ashamo. Rabbi Yehuda holds no. The determining moment, the decisive moment for determining if he's rich or poor, what kind of chatas he brings, is his asham, and that's the primary offering. This are the Rambam Paskins, the Gemara there, based on the Gemara there, and it actually turns out, lahalacha, technically, from when he is mafresh his asham, when he designates the animal to be the asham, the guilt offering, at that point, at that moment, that if he's rich, he has to bring the rich man's chatas, and if he's poor, he brings the poor man's chatas. Okay, that's the end of the Mishnah. So far, just want to make sure you didn't lose track of things. That last thing about rich or poor is totally non sequitur, essentially. It's a parenthetical comment. The Mishnah said there were two sets of fives. One set of fives are people who did, there are five episodes, but there are five people where there's multiple episodes, but a single korban will do. And that's the main topic of our Mishnah. We listed four out of the five of those, meaning we don't know the fifth one yet. It'll be the beginning of the next Mishnah. And the Mishnah also said there are five scenarios where you have a variable offering, and that also we didn't discuss. Both that will also be discussed in the next Mishnah Be'ez Hashem.